Guess who and guess what? Footy Prime is launching a gin and we're having a party to celebrate. Thursday, June 6th, join the whole FP crew for Footy Prime's one-night stand at Nickel 9 Distillery in Toronto. Come celebrate Footy Prime's one-ball gin with Nickel 9 Distillery mixologists on hand, Charmin's proper pies, meet and greet and photo ops with your favorite primers, and a live Atska's Almost Anything podcast. Footy Prime's one-night stand, June 6th at 7 p.m. till when we kick you out. Tickets at eventbrite.ca. Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language. And sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around. And thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go! Booty, booty, it's time to get this party started. Booty, booty, it's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mitts and now it's time to go. Cause it's the booty, booty, it's time to get this party started. It's the booty, booty, it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jimmy, JC. All we know and all we talk about is booty. It's time to get this party started tonight.
Listen, asshole, this is actually mint. It's not white.
Okay. Okay, Livermento.
It's mint. It looks like it just kind of blends into the gray background. It doesn't really mint to me.
It's mint.
But you look very fresh, that's for sure, Jimmy. Hey, it's Footy Prime, everyone. And it's Wednesday, the foundational episode. Ton to get to today, including a couple of listener/viewer comments. Look forward to those.
Are we going
to
talk about Jimmy and that dude, John Jacques, getting in a Twitter fight? That's funny.
I haven't even seen that. I spoke to Jimmy last night. He mentioned it. But yeah, we'll get to lots today. We've got a guest today too. TSS Rovers tonight of League One BC. They take on Pacific of the CPL. Huge game, of course. Not the first time it's happened, of course. They played Valor and beat Valor last year. But Will Cromack, who is a founding owner of the club and also was head coach last year, will join us in about half an hour or so. I want to start quickly with the Champions League semi-final yesterday. Bayern Munich dubs 2-2 Real Madrid. Did you hear Thomas Tuchel's comments post-match about Kim Min-jae, who you were hammering, by the way? We were texting during the match. Yeah. You were hammering him, saying he is shit.
Yeah, I was like, take a rest, Kim. Your night's over.
His manager concurs. He actually came out post-match and said, regarding Kim, he says he was too overly ambitious twice. He made the first move too early against Vinicius in the first goal and got caught by Toni Kroos's pass. He speculated and was too aggressive in the second goal. Unfortunately, it was another mistake. We were 5-2. We had the numbers. There was no need to defend that aggressively against Rodrigo. It's not often you get a manager calling out a specific player and blaming him for the two goals in a game that Bayern probably should have won. They were the better team, Dubs. But I guess if you're Thomas Tuchel, you're leaving end of the season, you don't give a shit, do you?
No, you don't. Let's throw everybody under the bus. But it's true, though, given their away record, and now they go to the Bernabeu, I can never say it right, and they have a terrible away record in league. And you know what Real can do at home. So I think that was their opportunity, and they failed to capitalize on it. And Real, again, with Bayern fully dominating that contest, find a way to come back. and even push at the end. And but Tony Cruz, I mean, well, I'll go back to Kim, but the way that he kind of orchestrated that pass and that goal, he kind of points to Vinny Jr., kind of indicating he wants him in behind, receives the ball, cuts inside. Vinny Jr. kind of checks forward, brings Kim with him, and then Kim after the fact, because then Vinny Jr. gets in behind, a beautifully timed and weighted pass by Cruz to put him in. He just, within his stride, doesn't have to slow down, and then just rolls it home. And then you've got Kim gesturing to the rest of his back line saying, you should have covered, you should have dropped for me. But I would tend to agree with Tuchel there that there's no need for him to check that aggressively into the midfield. Out of the back line, especially when they were so well organized and so well set up and thwarted Bayern up until that point. But I think you mentioned it on the dark web, Sharms, about Cruz. Like, he was unbelievable, really a masterclass. And he sort of set the tone with a tackle. I don't know who is on again, but kind of, he didn't even win it, but it was almost like it sent a message to his teammates. And then, you know, his pass completion, returning to play against his old club, and his return also to the Germany squad in advance of the Euro. So really impressive game from him. But yeah, Kim, tough night for him. So he's guilty of being too aggressive, as Tuchel said, on that first goal, and then concedes the penalty. So should be interesting to see what Tuchel does with his back line in the game next week.
And Tuchel is the Champions League whisperer, isn't he, in many ways? A very average, well, poor, let's be honest, domestic campaign, but he finds a way to get it done in this tournament, getting Chelsea there, beating Man City. He got PSG there. Remember PSG, who we all criticized? They all choke in the Champions League. Got to the final once with Thomas Tuchel as the manager there as well. He knows how to win these types of games tactically, and he's reinvented Eric Dier, of all people. Talk about reclamation projects, a guy that leaves Spurs. He's lost his England spot. He's almost a laughing stock in English football, the way he's fallen. And then he jumps over to Bayern Munich, Craig, and suddenly he's looking like Franz Beckenbauer out there.
You never know it. Yeah, football is a weird business sometimes. You know, you can find a new lease of life. You get a new club. You get a new something new, new surroundings. All these different things. You can really, really help somebody when they're struggling in one place, and certainly has worked for him.
I think sometimes it's also just a new voice, isn't it, guys? As a footballer, you get that new voice. Ange is, we love Ange, Postecoglou, right? But he couldn't harness Eric Dier this year. Maybe you need that Thomas Tuchel who sees something in him, redefines him, maybe simplifies his game. Because at this point, if I'm Gareth Southgate, I'm really considering Eric Dier as part of that England squad in a team that is a little bit thin in that position.
Interesting.
He's in the Champions League semi-final, just played great against Real Madrid. He actually harnessed Jude Bellingham, right? Good point. I don't know. The team that's lacking defense, like just stalwart defensive type footballers, I would consider him if I was Gareth Southgate. And now it's 26-man squads, right? As Dubs educated us on last week. You have a spot. You can take a bit of it's not even a gamble. I think you know what you have with him. But perhaps he finds a way in there.
He's a great player. Like, there's no mistaking here. Over the years for Tottenham, he's been very, very good. I've always liked the way that he plays. And I think sometimes though, when you're at one club for so long, you know, you do need to change. You need to move on. And him going to Bayern now is a new challenge, new lease of life, and he's enjoying his football again. Because there was a good few years when he was at Tottenham where he was unbelievable and everybody was talking about him.
Have you ever been in a situation where your manager's come out and focused on one player, Jimmy, focused on him and criticized him post-game?
In the dressing room, all the time.
Publicly, though?
Yeah, a couple of times. A couple of times where a manager would say, yeah, he's made a mistake or, you know, wasn't good enough today on the day. He costs us a game.
It happens. Not often.
No, not often. But it does happen. Normally, I always find that when a manager starts doing that, he's on his way out. That's when he tends to get fired.
But yeah, in Tuchel's case, it's mutual. He's leaving. We know that, right? Yeah. He's not necessarily being fired. He may have been fired, you know, finishing behind Dortmund, Leverkusen the way he has. But he is leaving, so nothing to lose, right? Certain players might use that, right, and might need the fire under their asses, perhaps. Whereas other players would wilt and would take it personally, wouldn't they?
It's never good publicly, though.
No, but taking it personally doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to wilt. Like, it can be like become a fuck you thing and a little bit of an uprising from the team, right? Even if he, obviously Tuchel, he's on his way out, but he wants to make it to the final, right? He wants a dispatch of Real. That's part of something he can put on his resume. So it's a fine line to walk. Yeah, light the fire, but you have to be kind of strategic in your way of doing that. And I don't think Tuchel pulled many punches by throwing Kim under the bus there, even though it was deserved, right? He had a shocking night, but there's perhaps a different way to go about it.
Yeah, listen, Kim was a pretty expensive signing in the off season. He was linked with a lot of very, very big clubs, and Bayern got his signature in the end. And listen, in the end, I think it's probably worked out okay, but we'll see how he responds in the second leg, which should be fascinating. Dortmund playing later today against PSG, by the way, which should be fascinating. Some of us went public on the last podcast regarding their opinions on the next Canadian head coach and should the passport have any kind of factor. And certain people have rubbed certain viewers and listeners the wrong way. I thought it was a pretty balanced conversation overall, but we've got some comments here, right? And Dubs, you found one too, which you have to read out. But let me start with this one, then you can maybe follow up with it because it's like bang, bang, right? It's like a little quick combination to the chin.
Can you guys read them, though, in the manner that they're delivered? Like, yeah, a little bit of embellishment.
Well, like, this one I'll read out was actually, it's a good comment. I mean, respect to at Peak Too Soon. I love that, by the way.
My love life.
We've all been there before.
That's my bedroom experience.
Peeking through the blinds of the neighbors, more like. All right, here we go. What a load of horse shit. We've had a pile of Canadian managers. Our current manager, though interim, is Canadian. We are interviewing three more. If we are able to attract a candidate who has significant experience managing at the top of the game, we should just ignore them because they're not Canadian. The comment about Kevin Blue looking out for Americans because he went to Stanford is just absolutely moronic, full stop. If that motivated him at all, do you think he would have come at all to work for an organization in as dire a state as a CSA? This screams people being cut out of the process, whinging about it. Had a good laugh about the Badgers comment from Craig as well. They're pushing those because we need to have more formality in the training and development of coaches. Not because getting a license automatically entitles you to a job in Canada soccer. Sweet Jesus, we're all dumber having listened to this. That's great.
Who was right. this again?
Peak Too Soon.
Oh, I love Peak Too Soon.
No, it's well written.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love that we get these arguments. It's good. Dubs, do you have the one that you sent this morning? You discovered? Was it on YouTube, this one?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
This is from Max Lalonde, 3705. It's along the same lines. Oh, Jesus, I can't watch this show anymore. I'm so glad Kevin Blue isn't using this crew of quote-unquote experts as advisors. There aren't any qualified Canadians! !3. Brennan and Forrest, would you give someone who knows cars but has no driver's license the key to your Ferrari? So we should give a non-qualified Canadian the job for the national team? Get your head out of your ass. Thank you, Sharms, for asking the question that none could answer. We need a game with respect that will keep our players like Tomori, Mitrovic, Colioso, Flores, Morris, Farsi, Jebison playing for Canada. Herdman was a great manager, worked restlessly, maybe he means relentlessly, but I won't nitpick, to try and recruit these players to play, but ultimately was having difficult times doing so. A lot of people can coach, but can you manage the other tasks like recruiting?
Love that one too, especially the part where he says, thanks, Shams. That was brilliant. I'll continue this one on the other side. Fully agree with Jimmy on just about everything he said about Canadian coaching. If the national team wasn't at the level that it currently is, plus Copa and World Cup right around the corner, I would be fully on board with a Canadian like Simonyotis, cutting his national coaching chops with Canada. Dazovic is a great example of Canadians not getting a shot of coaching. How have no Canadian Premier League teams given him a shot as a head coach? So it kind of went back and forth, different kind of opinions. But generally speaking, they were criticizing Craig and Jimmy, which I thoroughly enjoyed. Any response, Jimmy, Craig, in retrospect, having time to let your comments percolate over the last 48 hours or so?
I think they make some good points. They do.
Which points?
Like, why would they want to watch this?
I love that's what stood out for you, Forrest.
Oh, well played, Craig Forrest.
Everybody wants to blur it to Craig, but he heard that part. It's a very valid point.
Yeah. Well, it's a touchy subject, this Canadian coaching position, isn't it? All I say is I would rather not have an American just because they are a rival in so many ways. It's not that I don't like the coaches that they talk about. It's just that, no, I'm done. It doesn't sit well with me. The rest of it, whoever they pick, good on them. And it's, you know, it's down to the association. It's really down to the job of Blue and the president of the Canadian Soccer Association to make the decision on who the coach is. It's up to them. That's their job. It's not our job. And good luck on them. There's a lot of pressure for them picking whoever it is. And hopefully they pick the right person.
But it's our job to give opinion, though, right? And to hold them accountable as well. That is our job, right or wrong. I'm not saying who's got the right argument
here. As serious journalists, as serious sports journalists.
Yes.
To hold them account.
Sports, journalists. We're not journalists. I think that the argument, it kind of goes back to that old chestnut of an argument. Should national team managers come from that country? Should they be part of it? You can't pick an American for Canada unless he has the passport. He's only played two games in the FIFA friendly. Anyway, enough of that. But should it be a Canadian manager managing Canada, an American, America? Should it be an Englishman managing England? That old argument. When Sven Göran Eriksson was hired as England coach, he was hammered by a big nationalistic part of that football population. And same with Capello. Must be an Englishman. Even though at the time, the argument was he's way more qualified than any English manager, which again, there's way more qualified English managers than Canadian managers to choose from. They went through it as well.
Exactly. Exactly. And so there's always talk about other nations as well, like one in our confederation, Mexico. They have foreign managers, South American managers, one after another. And I know, like, the great Hugo Sanchez, Mexican player, he's always been pushing, like, why don't we have Mexican coaches coaching our national team? We have the ability, we have the quality, and we have the qualified players and coaches to be able to do this. So why don't they? So they we're not the only nation that's talking about this sort of thing.
Yeah. But it's funny when you think about it, though, right? Because as a player, you have to be a citizen to play for that country. But as a coach, you can coach anywhere and you can come from anywhere.
Yeah.
Can someone turn their phone off, too? Whoever's got a ping going? I don't know whose phone it is.
Not me.
I love you, Jimmy.
Can I just add there? I think it's less about wanting a Canadian to coach the Canadian men's national team or the women's team. And being beholden to that or tied to that and having your blinders on and thinking that's the only solution. I don't think it's about that. I think it's if you look at the Canadian soccer landscape, how nascent it is, if you compare it to other cultures across the world, I think it's more about giving our own talent a chance. It's not about saying we should be insular and just hire Canadians for the sake of hiring Canadians. It's just ensuring that the homegrown talent, in as much as you want to promote it in CPL and develop that pipeline and MLS, making sure that Canadians get a crack on those rosters, and Project 8 coming, making sure we're developing Canadians. I don't know who that is. I think it's part of that same narrative. From a coaching standpoint, right? About building the ecosystem. But we're not going to be obtuse about it. Like, it's just making sure that they get a fair crack at it, just like all these other people do, you know, without a bias because they are Canadians. Just ensuring that the playing field is level. And you look at candidates, you look at experience, you look at playing experience, you look at coaching experience, where they've come from, have they coached club, have they coached internationally? And then making sure that it's weighted properly. that there's not a mark against your name because you're Canadian. I just think it's important to be clear about that, that we just, it's not because we're feeling hard done by because we're not within the process. Like, fuck right off. It's not about that. We're here. Yeah. We're not as reporters. We're not journalists. Yes, we're alumni. We're ex-players, people who've been in the media space. We're just giving opinions. And it's an informed opinion because we do have experience playing and coaching and doing other things within the game. So if you don't like it, that's fine. But we're not harping on the Canadian aspect of it because we don't want to consider other candidates because they come from a different milieu. They come from a different culture. They come from a different country. It's not about that. It's just making sure Canadians have a fair shake.
You are bang on.
And except Craig.
The other thing
who doesn't want an American.
But the other thing is too, Dubs. When we talk about Canadians getting opportunities, you know, when with your licensing, if you get an A license, if you get a pro license, that is to coach at a pro level. You don't get your A license to go coach youth. So if you are a national organization that provides A licenses, it's to give you that license so that you can coach at a high level, a professional level. So that's where we're saying these Canadians that get that A license or that pro license, they should be having opportunities in their own country to coach at that level. That's what it's there for. You don't give them an A license and then say, oh, sorry, we don't have an opportunity now. Go down there because we're bringing in foreigners. Mm-hmm. That's what we're saying.
That's a good point. I've heard this from a pretty high-ranking person within Canada Soccer, and their opinion was, listen, it's all very well going outside Canada to find a coach, but that Canada better blow the socks off every other candidate. Must be a surefire. This guy or this girl, this woman is qualified 100%, will take this team to the next level. Why do we get someone that still has question marks beside their name and ignoring a potential Canadian candidate? Bobby Stamatiotis, we keep mentioning him, right, as probably the best Canadian candidate, right? Dominant in CPL, grew his brand through academy football, knows some of the star players on the Canadian national team who respect him, right? He's pretty much as close to bang on as you'll find in Canada right now, I think. So these names being associated with the job from the States or from wherever, be it Karanka, be it Marsh, be it Vanny, okay, all good football people with relative success, but none of them are hitting a home run here on the managerial search. That's the frustrating part. And that goes back, Craig, to footballers, right? And the old argument back in England, it's all very well signing a foreigner, but you better be better than the domestic player. The problem has been in the Premier League for so many years is that you bring in these average Europeans or average war players who aren't that much better than a domestic-based player. But they're getting the job. They got the sexy name. They get the opportunity. That's the problem.
Yeah, it is. There's also the issue of homegrown players or English players being more expensive. You're trying to buy somebody from a lower division and it might cost you more money than it would do going into the onto the continent and picking up a European-based player.
Not the case here with the coaches, though, right?
Sorry, guys. Something's buzzing. So there's a buzz going around metal near the microphone or something. FYI. Maybe.
Okay. But I mean, that's unless Bobby is asking for $6 million a year, right? I don't think he is. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that if you go for a Jesse Marsh or, you know, someone with top league experience, they're going to be asking for a lot more money than a Canadian-based coach, I would think.
That is true.
It is. Anyway, we love the comments on YouTube. We love the comments on social media. Please keep them coming. You criticize us, that's fine. If you have a compelling case to disarm us, which I think all of those people did.
they did.
Bring them on. This is about building a football community in this country around Footy Prime. And whether you love us or hate us, we welcome you. So please come on over. Make sure you subscribe and like to our YouTube channel. We put clips up there several times a week. We're going to be growing that element as well. So please do it. Should we move on to something more positive? Not that can't be positive. It can be positive, right?
How about Ipswich Town?
Well, yep. Well, I was thinking about that, but not yet. But if you want to host the show, Craig, go right ahead.
You wanted something positive, so I was like,
well. No, that I've got it written down here. 100% we'll get to Ipswich, but we got a guest waiting for us, right? And right. It's based around the Canadian Championship, which continues tonight. Atletico against Valor. Forge, against York United. We have Wanderers Saint-Laurent, which is apparently in Quebec.
Saint-Laurent.
Oh, surprise, surprise, I fucked that up.
How did you say it? How did
Saint-Laurent. You said Saint-Laurent.
Saint-Laurent.
I said Saint-Laurent, didn't I?
Saint-Laurent.
I'm pretty sure it was a Saint. I thought I got the Laurent part wrong. Anyway, we're not talking about that one.
All right.
Before you mock me any further, Pacific of the CPL taking on, as you mentioned before, TSS Rovers of League One BC. Now, our guest today is a founding owner of TSS Rovers. He was a head coach last year as they went through the Canadian Championship and a famous, famous win, of course, against Valor. His name's Will Cromack. Will, welcome to Footy Prime. Your first time on, right?
Yeah, first time. Thanks for having us. Appreciate it, man.
Hey, listen, we appreciate you coming on. We love the TSS Rovers story. It's incredible. A supporter's own club. Some big moments. You've been around, I guess, in League One since, I think, 2021, right? But prior to that, you were in the was it the Developmental League? Forgive me.
Yeah, we were in the PDL, USL. Yeah. We were riding the buses. We did it all. Rent minivans by the, you know, Chipotle for 20. Do everything that we needed to do to try and give an opportunity to BC players. And then, you know, League One was an awesome development to have more players involved throughout the province. And then the access, obviously, to cups like the Canadian Championships, amazing for you know, development of football in our country. So that's where we are now.
And you're back
I think in the long run, I mean, looking at this Canadian team in the past and so many players being from British Columbia, and there really isn't that many, certainly percentage wise as there used to be. Do you think this will help the development in that regard as far as potential players for our national team by doing what you guys are doing at the Rovers?
That was our original goal. I mean, we're not talking about a low percentage. We're talking about a nil percentage. When we actually look at the men's national team, the women, unfortunately, decreasing, not increasing. So yeah, it's a massive problem. And you know, if you're a Canadian football fan, you can't really have one province deciding that they don't want to participate in sending players to the national team. That's not going to do us any good. So, yeah, I mean, when we first started, it was like, listen, there's a gap, you know, Whitecaps, Toronto, Montreal, it's too high. We need to fill the layers in. And for most of our people that we talk to, I mean, we're looking back when we look back 100 years, we're at the time when, you know, Everton and Liverpool were friends that hated each other and started a different club. You know, that was 120 years ago. This is where we are today. You know, we're not going to be around to tell those stories, but that's actually where we are. So you have to have a reason. And our reason was Canadian footballers being given a shot, being given some opportunity. And we started by going up and down on shitty buses and, you know, minivans to give a shot because we thought it was the right thing to do. Like James was just talking about people maligning you if you are doing something. It's good. We didn't care. Hate us. At least you're caring about something. And we were up and down. So when League One came, yeah, that is absolutely the focus, is to get more younger players in with some exposure and then get picked up by whatever the layer is above.
So what's the ambition for this club? You know, you've been run so well from day one. Supporters, you know, have such a role in the club. You're playing a CPL team for the second time in a row, second year in a row. You can play with these guys. Clearly, last year you proved that. Yep. Pacific's a good team. We know that. You operate out of Swungard. But what is the ambition for this club? If you look 10 years down the line, 15 years down the line, where is TSS Rovers?
Well, I mean, I would say that we've met our ambition as it existed, is to exist, to be an opportunity to push players on. We wanted supporter ownership because we felt culture was one of the missing pieces in our country, as opposed to, you know, the business of football. Obviously, we need to be smart about the business of football, but the reality is supporter ownership, supporter involvement, the alignment of players to supporters so that they feel, you know, when they're not doing well, they feel the pressure. Which is a developmental side to it as well. And then I just think as the layers build, you know, we will then allow supporters, will obviously have a voice in it to do what might be possible, which is, you know, potentially CPL or potentially just continue on as a feeder to that layer. Existing is our main priority. And then doing things that we think are in the best interest of football always. So not the best interest of our pocket, obviously, since we just pay to do this. But to actually continue on with the best interest of football is our main priority.
Will, you're talking about existing as being an accomplishment, which it should be, especially supporter owned. It's great. We should, I hope we see more of that across the country, but you guys get gain entry into the Canadian championships because Victoria Highlanders drop out. So do you think yes. opportunity and accessibility to League One as a level is an issue in this country?
I think anything where you cannot be sustainable in an easy manner, and let's be honest, football isn't exactly around the world. You're not taking it on to make billions. You'd buy a storage unit and just rent those out if you wanted to make money. So in my opinion, it is hard. It's difficult. The more aligned it is to CSB, CPL, the better it is for exposure. But there has to be ways and mechanisms that the higher levels of soccer, like they do in other countries, allow the sustainability to be easier. In my opinion, CSA or Canadian soccer, the MLS layers, the CPL level needs to help out the League One, especially if they get into competitions like this.
Is the League One model the best model, do you think, for Canada right now? We see in BC, Ontario, Quebec. You know, it's going to expand as well, I imagine, beyond that. Is it right now the best solution?
Yeah, I mean, it's the only solution right now. If I was to go back even 5 years, I might even consider, particularly in the women's side, that League One became or becomes slowly and incrementally the top division and then build in the promotion relegation. Sometimes you might think everybody's going a bit too fast. That's when you start to leak out of the bottom of the bucket from a business perspective. I'm also not always sure that we have enough players to really manage a quality that we want to watch. Obviously, we're talking about Rovers in some cases, and we prove there is some quality. And I think everybody else who's gone out and played has showed they're on their teams, whether it's Simcoe or Vaughan or whatever, they're showing there's some quality on their club. Whether they can put 18 or 22 out remains to be seen. But I think as I get older, I'm more of a fan of incrementally building things and doing it right, so that, you know, teams like Victoria Highlanders don't just pull the plug because they can't manage it anymore. And you have to commend them for the amount of time they've put into all the different layers that have been in existence, because they've done it out of their own pocket and for their own community. So I don't want teams like that going missing. You're going to have some here and there because that's the life of business and football. But I think League One is the right route if we continue to support it in the right manner and don't just expand for the sake of expanding, which, you know, lots of people do. They just want to go bigger because that's a North American way.
I love the whole promotion relegation model as well, which is being introduced this year. I mean, we argue about that a lot as football fans in this country. Would it work? Will it not work? And I think at certain levels it can work. And this might be the level where it can work beyond League One. Maybe you can squeeze CPL in there one day, but obviously yeah. MLS won't happen. Do you see it though becoming a bigger thing in Canada?
Well, I mean, maybe I'm just opinionated about it, but I believe without wholesale promotion relegation, you haven't got an entirely football ecosystem, because promotion relegation is actually what keeps everybody interested. We care about the Stanley Cup. Do we care about game 22? You know, MLB, do we care about game, I don't know, 122? So there are some people, but it is the ecosystem and the differentiating factor in our sport, the sport we love, is promotion relegation. And having all of the leagues, teams aligned in a proper pyramid is actually what needs to happen. It could be the differentiator between us and the States. because the States just build another league when they're upset with the one league they have. So, you know, and that doesn't always, you know, that doesn't always hurt them, but at the end of the day, it doesn't align them to FIFA in a, not that we're talking about a really gracious organization in FIFA, but an alignment of your pyramid is what actually helps over the long haul. And it aligns the money, to be honest. It keeps everything flowing and moving properly so that the CSA, we can have proper national teams. We can have where we look for players, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, you guys know that well. You talk about football all day. We've got people on here who've been in the English pro pyramid and, you know, that's the dream.
All right. Well, to tonight's game, there must be a sense of belief with Rovers given what happened last year. I mean, it's a huge challenge. We know that. It's going to be exciting as hell to watch. But what is the belief compared to last year before that you play Valor?
Well, I mean, you know, you got 11 guys that have to go out there, and the more of the guys that we can put on who have the experience of either having played in the CPL, been in academies, the MLS academies, and also had that moment or two, that's the game. And then it's really about getting through the first 15 odd minutes to kind of build that belief again. Not as long to prepare this year. I would say, though, that the organization as a whole, particularly from the supporters section, think that anything's possible now. And you guys get the comments in the chat boxes. You know, we're going to beat Real Madrid. We got this. Everything's totally possible. So I think the belief of the players and the coaching staff is a bit more humble, a bit more, you know, it's a good team. Pacific are not a poor organization by any stretch of the imagination. But yes, they're going to walk in the park not fearing that they have to play the game, excited to play it, and you know, probably play it in 5-minute increments to just make sure they get through and then see what happens.
Is this a feeling of a bit of a cup final for the club and for the players? Is this how they go into it? Because this is a massive 100%. Moment.
Yeah, 100%. It's opportunity. I mean, the only thing about, you know, we just talked about League One as a whole. That's an opportunity. You scored 20 goals in that league. Someone's picking you up. You have a moment on national TV against a former champion of the league. It's early doors in this league, but it's an opportunity. And if you don't take it like that as a player, you're missing something. You know, this is your moment. So it's like Wembley Cup final. This is big time. So, and last year, I would say some of them were disappointed. They put a show on in some places and never got picked up. So, it's a big opportunity again, and that's how you have to take it.
Have you seen the supporters grow over the last number of years? I mean, especially after last year, you guys had great success. You know, how's the awareness there? Is there more people that want to get involved and maybe invest into the club?
Yeah, and I think the thing that is more interesting is when we were going up and down the coast in the States, there wasn't an access to see us at all the times. And so what happened is we didn't have a rival. And as you guys know, you know, Jimmy, if you have a local rival, which almost everybody in England is at some point, you got traveling supporters. What happened is we became, let's call it a benchmark without being arrogant. We're doing this. You should do this too. You know, bigger flags, more of we hate you. We're going to go against you because we're the team on the north side of town now, or we're the team from the island. And that's really cool because now you have, not only do we have people who want to purchase shares just to support us from all over Canada, by the way, just to support the idea of supporter ownership, what you have is you have other organizations going, hey, that's cool. We're going to start with our three guys. And then we're going to add three more women, and then they're going to add their sisters and their brothers, and they're starting to build. I mean, I think one of our proudest moments from an ownership is quietly watching supporters banter with each other and then drink each other's beer, which helped make the club some money during the game when we went on an away trip. That's a weird and cool factor that's coming out. And people are buying shares or asking to buy shares again. now that we're back in the Canadian Championship. So there's a business ramification to it, like there would be for any club that's making it into a top end tier to play against.
You mentioned how it's, you know, can be a showcase for these players too, right? A good performance on this level, you know, 100%. Who knows what doors open. But how do you keep a player's feet on the ground? You're a team, right? You can't be making it about yourself, but there must be a real temptation for some players to say, hey, here's my chance. I'm going to make this about me.
Well, James, when you have to go after training and pick up a whole bunch of bricks and put your hard hat on and then or go back to class or, you know, go to the basement suite at your mom's, it gets easier. What's hard sometimes is getting them to training because they have jobs and they have life and they have to, you know, sustain their lives. There's a distinction when you coach at a CPL level or up there. We paid you a contract. You might not show up as the best version of yourself, but we still have to pay you and we have to demand that. When you have an opportunity like this, though, you take one less shift. You are a little broker. You are riding on a car with $5 of gas and hoping that the boys like me pay the per diem on the ferry to buy a decent meal. So there's a whole bunch of that. And that does make you pretty humble. And also, you're not in that layer. It's easy. You're not in that layer. There's a reason. So if you don't think that they've seen the reason why you deserve to be picked, then show it tonight.
It's like being in a podcast, isn't it, fellas?
I was going to say the same way. I was going to say the same way. Will is looking at TSS Rovers, and they're saying it's big time. I think that's how Will feels right now. He's getting a tryout. This is a tryout.
Yeah,
that's very good.
I'm desperate for some more jobs. I pay to do.
One of us are we?
One of us is being fired after today's show, so there might be a spot. Yeah. Before we let you go, Will, let us know that you mentioned the ability to buy shares in the club. Can you give us information where someone who might be interested in being involved in Rovers can get that information?
Yeah, well, we'd closed it and then we were going to open it up at some point, and it, you know, just go to tssfc.ca, and in the next 30 days we're thinking of reopening a share offering for about 90 days. Shares are $265. I think you get a t-shirt and a scarf as well. The intention of it is real ownership, meaning you actually get a real share certificate. It's a proper business. It's not a B level, C level. You have a vote. It's a supporters trust model, meaning the supporters vote who would sit on the board. If we decide to do something silly and, I don't know, get a tobacco company to sponsor our jersey, something along those lines, they can vote us down. Nothing like that has happened yet. Sometimes,
but you're open to any kind of offer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
go slumming, Will. Go slumming.
We've had those meetings, and we never get to a vote because the it's always at a pub. So we're thinking of having our meetings at more sort of institutional places in future. Having said that, it's available, and it's wonderful to have people have a voice and tell us what they think. And take that into consideration, very much similar to the comments you were making about the podcast before I got on.
Hey, listen, just to make it very clear to anyone listening, we are very open to any tobacco sponsorship. Footy Prime brought to you by Marlboro. I'd love it. It'd be amazing. Please, we have no ethics or morals whatsoever. Well, listen, thank you so much. Listen, we're big supporters of the CPL, and we want to see them do well in this championship. But, man, to see a League One BC team do well is incredible as well. So good luck this tonight. Let's hope for a great match.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me. See you guys.
Cheers. Good luck, Will. Thanks.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
What up, Primers? It's JC, that guy. Don't miss a second of Premier League action only on FuboTV. Subscribe at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. With Serie A, League One, and One Soccer 2, you can get it all at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Now, back to the show.
That's Will Cromack, TSS Rovers, TSSFC.ca. Check it out. It's a great story, guys. And, you know, it's interesting. It piqued my interest when he mentions about the potential voting for board members. Did you see this past week in Portugal at Porto? Andres Vieira Boas. Finally, who used to be Chelsea and Spurs manager. I know you can't believe how I know you assholes. Andre Vieira-Boas. Andre Vieira-Boas.
Wow.
Portuguese.
You've never been sexier to me also.
Vieira-Boas. Anyway, he has become the new president of Porto, voting out the incumbent after 43 years. And his whole platform was, this club's been run poorly for a long time and we'll make a lot of changes to bring it back to the 2020s where it should be. But just having that fan power behind a club, you don't see it in too many professional sports. My God, you don't see it in North America so rarely, right? Not the top level, Craig. But I mean, when you have that accountability, it can go both ways, of course. It doesn't always work out. We know that, but it's a great model.
Yeah, it is a great model. The connection between fans and your club and your being part of the fabric of the club or feeling like you're part of that is really, really special. And Porto are a fantastic club, but they also have to live in that world where they have to develop, recruit really well, sell. We see it in Portugal all the time. I mean, the big boys, Porto, Benfica, Sporting, do a really good job at developing and then selling on players for a significant profit most of the time.
Hey, listen, English Premier League clubs might have to start doing that as well.
Right.
With all but three teams voting in a potential, we'll call it a cap right now. It's not a cap, I wouldn't think. I can imagine it being more like a luxury tax type situation, but Dubs, it's a huge move announced this past week that by, I think, 2025, there will be real cost and spend restrictions in that league. That could change everything.
And one glaring outlier abstaining from the vote.
And who would that be?
That would be Chelsea.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to go back to Will for a second. He talked a lot about incremental growth as it pertains to the layers of the Canadian soccer ecosystem and also building the culture at the club. And I want to talk about our own podcast and the incremental growth I'm seeing in our Dan Wong when Will talked about leaking out of the bottom of the bucket and he didn't jump in. So you congratulations to you, Dan Wong.
A maturation process in front of our very eyes.
Yes. Yep. I'm in grade four now.
Strides.
Thank you. Boobies. Yeah. Boobies.
Yeah. On a calculator and flipped upside down.
Yeah. Exactly. 8008. I love that one. Yeah. And Shell Oil.
Shell Oil, that's right.
Yeah. That's a good one too. Yeah. Yeah. Where were we? Oh yeah. Spending caps in the Premier League. Hey Jimmy, what do you think about that? If you're a footballer in the Prem or in English football. And you hear this, you're not happy. I mean, the Professional Players Association is saying, well, okay, but it can't be a hard cap. We don't like that.
Yeah.
They tried that before.
I mean, as a player, yeah, you want to make as much money as you possibly can. But I think as a fan, I would like to see that because I would love to see a little bit more parity as well in the Premier League. And I think it'd be more entertaining.
A bit more parity, right? See, I don't mind having dominant teams.
Yeah, but you're talking parody, P-A-R-O-D-Y. You want people to be funnier.
That's our podcast.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. You definitely need that.
Because, you know, it's always the usual suspects that are always going for the title majority of the time, right? Yeah. And I think if you did have parody and it was a salary cap, now all of a sudden you could have a Bournemouth who's recruited well, who's under the salary cap, now could be fighting for a title. I think it'd be very entertaining.
To a point, though, but look at the NHL. It's boring as hell. I'm sorry. Since the cap came in, it's boring as hell. Too much parody. I like seeing a dynasty every now and again.
Come on. There's always ways to circumvent the cap. Come on.
Well,
Tampa.
Yeah. Yeah. Vegas, God.
Oh, Mark Stone, available to play.
I'm healthy, guys. Oh, scoring on his first game. Good.
The other thing is, too, with the NHL, you're talking, 30-odd teams? Like, you're still only at, 18 teams in the Premier League. So I think it would be a lot more interesting.
Yeah, 20. Nice round.
20, sorry.
20.
20.
Did you play there?
Where did I get 18?
When it was 18, actually. I think when you played there, it was 18. Yeah.
No, I'm just being a dick. But what I thought was interesting, I listened to a podcast about it. So perhaps someone can fact check me. But
Was it our podcast?
Definitely not. But about this cap. And so say, Jimmy's talking about Bournemouth, who are now sitting kind of mid-table or eighth, like they're doing quite well, right? But say you look at a Sheffield United, they're surely going to be relegated. But you compare a Sheffield United, what they have at their disposal in terms of funds, and Manchester City, and what it's going to be is if, say, using $100,000, I mean, I know that's significantly less than what they'll have as a nice round number, then the top team will have only five times that amount. Mm-hmm. Right. So they would, Man City would have $500,000. So that to me gave a very nice representation, or was a nice analogy of what it would bring. So yes, perhaps parity, but then there still would be fivefold the spending power at the top end of the Premier League,
which is significant. At the same time, does this make a Super League more and more possible as well? Because the top clubs would say, fuck this, we're getting out. You're going to do this to us? We're going to break away. Former, I think that comes a little bit closer from the top clubs, unfortunately.
Yeah, it could be. Which is why if you look at the people who lingering. Voted no, sorry for us, the people who voted, it was Chelsea abstained, and Villa. Then it was City, Villa, and United.
Villa surprised me.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jimmy's always reminding us how big Villa is as a club. And that's always, I can't say surprising, but it's one of those things that I didn't realize that until even this year.
Well, they've got money. I mean, they're owned by an Egyptian billionaire, an American billionaire, an American investment company. I mean, they've got money for sure. It's really fascinating. We'll see where it goes, because the labor laws over there are different to over here. And that, of course, resulted in Bosman many, many years ago. So I don't know. We'll see. Like I say, I can't see it being a hard cap. I just can't. That I don't think it works, quite honestly. But for a team like, I don't know, Craig, Ipswich, it could be great news, couldn't it? Okay, go. Here's your platform, Craig.
I'm looking at Ipswich.
Look at him, he's buzzing.
Well, they're not there yet. They need a point for their last game at home to Huddersfield. So it's been quite an amazing season, or seasons, for them, being promoted from the first division into the championship last season. And then really up against sides with parachute payments in the Premier League. They're just surrounded by them. And that's a substantial advantage for those teams being relegated out of the Premier League. And there's a lot of talk about that too. And then how fair that is or unfair that is in that division, and how those teams can flex their muscles for a few years with those massive parachute payments. Leicester winning the division, good for them, but they really needed to. I really think that if they weren't promoted back, automatically they find themselves in a real financial problem, and potentially points deductions and everything else like that with their spending, or overspending. It's a difficult situation. But for Ipswich to be able to be in that conversation this season, and with the potential, and looks like they've got every chance of being promoted to the Premier League, is incredible. I mean, their wage bill is probably around 20 million compared to a couple hundred million for Leicester. Like, it's significantly different.
I'm looking forward to it for Craig too, because we're going to actually be able to see his brain split apart when he has to cheer West Ham versus Ipswich. What's he going to do? There's going to be so many people online mad at him. It'll be amazing. finally, we'll find people who dislike Craig Forrest, because he'll be like, hey, Hammers. Hey,
oh no, there's more now since the last podcast. There's way more people that dislike
Tractor Craig voice.
Tractors.
Craig, who will it be? Craig, where will your allegiance? It'd be with Ipswich, right? Wouldn't it?
For me?
Your allegiance when West Ham play Ipswich, it will be with Ipswich, won't it? Or will you be
I would hope they both do well. I mean, it's not really.
You can't do that.
He grew up at Ipswich. He grew up at Ipswich, but he had a party. He had a party at West Ham, and it was an amazing, those stories are fantastic.
Good way to put it.
I think there were some parties at Ipswich too, though.
Nah.
They do drop in.
Yeah. Cow punching. Cow chipping. Hey, what the fuck?
Now you're pissing off anyone from that part of the world now as well, right?
Sorry.
Ipswich fans, yeah. Norwich
fans. They all
fans.
Listen to us. Sure they do. They don't have radios there. They're like the Amish.
Jimmy, Norwich?
It's the Norwich, yeah. In the playoffs at the moment. That'd be great if Norwich and Ipswich went up. East Anglia Derby in the Premier League would be brilliant.
Now we're talking. Yeah. Brennan.
Tractor Boys probably. Against the Canaries.
Yeah, that I'll would be.
You gotta go with the Tractor Boys there, right?
I don't know. The Canaries would give you a good warning before the Tractor arrived.
That's right. Yeah. Only if you're underground, though, like in the mine.
They'll wake you up.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Not really menacing.
That was a good whistle.
Yeah.
High pitch.
Let's go, boys.
We used to do that from another tunnel.
Come on, guys.
Did you really?
Come on, guys. We can do it.
Imagine the whole stadium whistling. Like, as opposed to the Tractor Boys.
Rubbing their engines.
Yeah.
And the counterpoint is...
Back and forth from section to section.
Not quite as menacing.
Not quite as menacing, no. Hmm. I don't know why. I won't go there. Anything else you want to get to?
It might be opening a can of worms, but I think, you know, yeah, if we go back to the Canadian men's national team candidates, do we want to do this?
Say again, I missed that. Sorry, my computer was buzzing.
It might be opening a can of worms. It probably is opening a can of worms. But we talked about the candidates. We talked about Canadians versus foreigners. What if we talked about building your perfect candidate? What would that look like? What qualities would they have, whether that's in their philosophy, in their persona, in the experience they've already gleaned?
Okay, that's a great question. So Jimmy, there's no director of football right now in Canada. There's no guy in charge or woman in charge of building a development plan necessarily, right? So the head coach has often taken that role on in the past in Canada as well. They've broken up before as well. But generally speaking, that person comes in and they're going to look at the entire structure of Canadian football and decide how that's going to work. Is that number one, the long-term plan? Or is it, let's just make a bit of a name for ourselves at Copa and then the World Cup on home soil? Jimmy, you want to start?
I think, look, the coach that's coming in now, his job is just to focus on this team and the players. Forget about everything else. Forget about the philosophy that's going to go throughout the organization and worrying about the academy and everything else. I think this head coach, his role and job is just to look after this team, make sure he gets them performing right. And then I think eventually they're going to get somebody to come in and that will put a structure in place of how this organization is going to be run. And that's from top to bottom. And it's important that you do have that, because if that manager that comes in and after 2 years or so, he gets a better opportunity, he leaves, then if you do have a technical director, somebody in place, then nothing changes. Everything keeps going. You find another manager that's going to come in and keep this organization running on the same path. Far too often you have a manager that comes in and he overlooks absolutely everything. And then when he takes off, everything's all over the place and it's a mess. So I think that will be the role. First will be the head coach come in, take that. And then eventually I think a technical director will come in and start putting everything in place.
Yeah. I don't think, the manager that comes in now, I would normally say that you would have to have a manager that has some CONCACAF experience, knows how to deal with CONCACAF, knows the challenges that brings. But with the manager coming in now, that's not important at all, because you're not really, you've already qualified for the World Cup. You have Copa America, South American teams. You got European teams coming up and friendlies. You got the World Cup that's going to be, you know, not CONCACAF related. So that's not important for this manager. And you're right, Jimmy, as far as I think that's, they're looking for somebody to take them to the World Cup and see how they do after that. They don't really care. They don't really care. If he stays around, great. If not, that's not their concern at this moment, I don't think.
Does that make sense from a sporting strategy though, or just from an overarching strategic approach to bring in somebody who could be incongruous with a vision that you have for the association and the way that you want to be aligned on the technical side? Like, is that not backwards to bring in a coach first and then try to institute a philosophy after the fact?
Yeah, that is a good point. It's a good point.
I'm just saying that I think that's where they're lying right now as far as what they're doing, as far as what this team's potential is. They're looking no further than 26.
Well, that's priority, right? But I mean, in a perfect world, that person is out there right now who can do both jobs. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if he is. I don't know. Now, I keep going back to Bobby. I know that. But just because he's built an academy before and you would think he's available. So I think he would definitely fulfill the technical director part of the job. You can't even question that. Can you question, is he ready to coach a team full of, you know, wealthy, young egos, which is like any football team nowadays? I don't know. I suspect he probably is, but I don't know that. That's a question. So Dubs, if we remove the technical director for a second here, and Craig says, I think probably rightly so, really knowing the landscape in North America isn't that important, in that they're playing Copa and they're at the World Cup already. You need a technical X's and O's manager who knows strategy and tactics, right? Is that number one then for this new coach?
Yes, I think so. And proven, whether that's at the club level or the international level. And somebody who's worked with superstars, or you've worked in a top tier league. I think that's who you target.
Okay, so we just remove Canadians from the equation then, right? Haven't we, by that answer? Like, who's worked with superstars?
I'm going to distill this down. I'm going to make the final decision. I'm going to make the final decision, Charms. The person they need, the biggest role they have to have, is ambassador of the Canadian Soccer Association website. They can't lose the keys. It can't black out. And that needs to be their highest priority, that the GoDaddy doesn't have a parked website for your – that's the most
important. I think it's a big part of it. And I think when they get the contract, they'll get those keys 100%. But I'm not being a dick though, Jimmy. It's just it's a valid point, right? I'm not saying it's right and the landscape is such that Canadians haven't been given the opportunity, right? But if we just if you agree with Dubs – that you need an exo, a proven tactician who's worked with that level. Who is there? Who's Canadian?
Listen, what I said before, Charms, is yes, it would be great to see a Canadian in that position. But I did say that it has to be the best individual and most qualified for the job. That should be the individual that gets it. And I think we all agree with that.
Mm-hmm. So with that mandate, though, with the mandate being tactics and experience.
Yeah.
Right.
I know you keep going on about, well, what Canadian is it? What Canadian is it? We were talking about Canadians not getting opportunities to be in this position now, fighting for this job as a Canadian national team head coach. We're saying we need to give more Canadians opportunities at the coaching level so that one day we could sit here and go, we've got 10 or 15 qualified Canadian coaches.
100% agree. Agree.
So we're not there yet.
We're not there right now.
That was the initial discussion.
Right.
But for this job right now, we're saying it should be the most qualified individual for this job.
Right. So if that is the proviso, right, that is it. Tactics, experience with top players. Sadly, at this point, I'm not saying they won't hire a Canadian and wouldn't do a good job, but right now that person probably isn't available at the moment.
Frank Gallup would be the only one in that category.
Yeah, right, right. The Frank would be the one.
Yeah.
But he hasn't been spoken to as far as you know, right? He's not part of the
final. Not that I know,
election.
No. No.
Right. Now, we mentioned Jesse Marsh last podcast, Dubs, and he is reportedly, you actually had this, he is talking with South Korea. And now, whether that is a negotiating ploy, could well be. He would be someone that's worked with some pretty big name players, pretty good tactically. He would tick that box, I suppose, even though it's not a guaranteed, you know, success, as we discussed earlier today. Who else? I mean, that name's being mentioned. I don't see an Ole Gunnar Solskjaer being someone that, A, they could afford, number one. But secondly, has he got the CV? I don't think he has.
I don't think so either. I don't know. I mean, we talked about Marsh last podcast, but I think when you're looking at those coveted qualities that you want, and I think to turn that on its head is you look at the position, and I think it's really attractive and highly coveted job, right? Like, I mean, we talk about Canada not being taken seriously, but I think there are candidates now and really high profile ones that are looking at this job, looking at the runway to 26, perhaps even beyond. But I think it's probably just fair to say that it's to the World Cup and then hard stop. looking at it as using that as a stepping stone or using that for them to kind of pad their resume, as it were, you know, a feather in their cap to come to Canada and to do it, and the chance to work with this golden generation of talent. So I don't know what candidate that is, but I think it does have to be. And perhaps, as you alluded to or said quite plainly, it's eliminating Canadians as a result. But I think you're looking at somebody who's worked with high profile players, stars in a top league in the world. And I think that's what Canada probably needs in order to truly contend in 26.
I wish they'd just hire someone, make our life much easier. Although all this speculation is kind of fun, though. We're obviously pissing people off, so yeah. That's good. I know. I mean, listen, there isn't a perfect candidate out there. And I do wonder, Craig, you talk about some of these big names. A lot of these people don't need money right now necessarily. They're not necessarily doing it for the money. They could take a short-term gig, have success, which would open doors to them perhaps where the big money jobs are. Because yeah, just to throw a name out there, Solskjaer. Yeah. Or Lampard before, that was kind of laughable. But these guys don't need money, I would hope. but they do need to build their reputations. And this might be a good opportunity for that.
Yeah, so you're saying that they might come for a...
They'd have to.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, I'm sure there's plenty of managers out there would take a... come in with a discount because of the opportunity. I mean, what an opportunity it is.
It's a great opportunity. And the thing is, too, you're going to get three tournaments. You're going to get a World Cup, a Copa America, and a Gold Cup. Mm-hmm. It's a great experience as a manager.
Hopefully. Unless it all goes
pear-shaped. My dog agrees with us.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
What, one candidate we haven't talked about a lot is Thomas Christensen, right? So do you think that there's a possibility that he's one of those, to lure him away from Panama? I don't know much about him.
I don't know much about him. I know he's had success there. Had
to say about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let me just mute my bloody mic.
No, he's a good, about it. Very good manager. He's got great experience. He's done a very good job in Panama. Good playing pedigree as well, playing over in Spain and in Europe for a long time. And that could be interesting. And he knows the Canadian players very, very well. Mm-hmm. It's a good show.
Sorry, my dogs are going nuts right now. We have someone coming over to cut their nails, so it might be very noisy. Just so you know, but luckily we're coming to the end here. So sorry, Christensen, Thomas Christensen, you might be the best choice. I can't say. Actually, no, they're left now, or they've died. One of the two. I don't know, but yeah, we've given our opinions on the manager. That's probably we'll see what happens between now and the next podcast, obviously. But I think it's a really interesting, obviously it's a really important moment for Canadian football, soccer. Let's get something positive here, because no matter who they choose, there's going to be people criticizing it. That's the problem. But you can't listen to the noise, can you? You guys know this better than anyone. You just can't listen to the noise. It's going to overwhelm you. People are going to hate for the sake of hating, because people are miserable. I think the default setting of people is misery. I've decided that.
But if they get results, everything changes. It's all about getting results. It's
amazing, isn't it?
How it all changes. About results.
Big results tonight, hopefully, for some lesser teams. I mentioned Canadian Championship, Atletico Valor, Forge York, Pacific TSS Rovers, and Wanderers Saint Laurent.
Jeez.
Slightly better than before.
I'm pretty sure I got it.
Your saint is going to say Laurent.
Laurent.
Laurent. Don't even do that. Yeah, Laurent.
Like Laurent, but Laurent.
Yeah. Laurent. Perfect.
Just Laurent. Just Laurent. I was trying too hard. I was trying too hard.
You were.
I'm a keener. I always try too hard.
Say your Spanish name again.
It's not Spanish. It's Portuguese.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Jesus Christ. When you're criticizing me, get it right.
I was trying to get you to end on a positive. I was doing the opposite.
If you're setting you up.
Andres Vierge Boas. That's how you say it.
Very hot.
Yeah, very. All right, everyone. All those games, by the way, on One Soccer, you can find on Fubo TV. And if you haven't subscribed, please do so. FuboTV.com/footyprime.
Yes.
We make 3 cents per subscription.
That's right.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
Three. Dubs, three questions. Montreal, you interviewed Victor Wanyama.
Yes.
That is my listening pleasure coming up in the next hour or so.
Yes. And what you think.
From what you teased, it sounds like a really miserable interview, like a great interview, a sad interview.
No, we pushed a little bit. We didn't want to focus too much because he hasn't had a lot of time this year under Courtois, which is kind of similarly to what he went through last year under Hernan Losada, but different leadership and kind of living the same thing. So he's a clearly frustrated footballer. But we pivoted quite quickly after touching on that and got into his playing days at Celtic, Old Firm, playing alongside Harry Kane, Champions League predictions, favorite meals, because there was the famous Wanyama and the spaghetti thing. And so what he likes to eat pregame, talking about Alistair Johnston and how he gave him kind of the push to sign at Celtic. So really interesting stuff.
So there's still a reason to listen to the podcast.
Yes.
Yeah, she's just
giving it all away.
Yeah, just told it.
Synopsis.
That's
right,
the close notes.
Exactly. Yeah, listen to hear Victor say it. I just gave kind of a gloss over.
We should do Cole's Notes podcasts. You know, like if he hasn't got time to listen, this is what we did. Done. There you go. That's three questions, Montreal. Definitely worth listening to. We're doing TFC and Vancouver later today. Vancouver's 50th anniversary this weekend. We have Carl Valentine on. Great.
Legend.
Teammate of Forest. And Jimmy, was it just before your time with the national team? I think he was, right?
What?
Carl Valentine.
Oh, yeah. Way before.
Way before. Okay, sorry to age you. Anyway, he'll be on talking about Vancouver, the Whitecaps, and their great start to the season. And then we are back with tomorrow, Box to Box. We're still trying to book a guest.
We are.
We're trying to book someone. Yeah. Okay. And then, of course, Friday, more of this bullshit. So until then.
Speaking of being miserable.
Cheers for listening.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG. And visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
I like the question mark on the end.
These pretzels are making me thirsty.
These pretzels are making me thirsty.
These pretzels are making me.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.